May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. As I read today's gospel passage, I almost feel for the sons of Zebedee. They're so relatable and understandable. They're in a place to ask Jesus for anything, and what they want is greatness. They want to have the prized positions on Jesus' left and right hand in the kingdom. They want to be recognized as important leaders. If we are honest, who doesn't get exactly where James and John are coming from? We all want to be important, to be honored, to be great. It is a human tendency, but it is a plague on the church. Even among Jesus' closest followers, it leads to division and arguing. And Jesus has to remind them that the type of battle for superiority is what marks the non-Christian world around them. What marks Jesus' followers instead should be a willingness to faithfully follow, to serve others, to point the way to the God who gave himself to give others life. That is what Jesus points out to them. Jesus is saying, look at my example. I'm not saving you with greatness. I'm saving you with suffering. And if you want to follow Jesus, that will be part of your narrative because it is part of Christ's story. But just as importantly, Jesus is saying to them, I am not saving you for greatness. I'm saving you for service. And that service for which he is saving them is to tell the story to others, to proclaim the gospel, to tell the story of what happens on the other side of that suffering, the story of redemption and hope and wholeness that comes from following Jesus through the struggles of life to the resurrection that occurs. That's the service that Jesus needs for this story to be told. But it can't be authentically told from the prized place of a cushy throne. It is told by those who have followed Jesus through the realities of life's turmoil and can legitimately speak of the dawn of new life. It is work that is done by people who have actually known the struggle of forgiveness and can speak to its healing power. It comes from having failed badly enough to know that redemption comes only from the Lord. It is born when someone has known the weight of death so that the beauty of resurrection has its full meaning. And having followed Jesus through those things, the service of the Lord is to sing the song of salvation. For too long, the church has fought about who was right, who was closer to Jesus, who was greater, who would have the prized position. It has been the way of the church for many ages and a tradition that traces its roots back to the first followers of Jesus, and it always caused destruction. The sound of singing was drowned out by the noise of arguing. But the world needs more than that. It needs the faithful service of Christ's disciples who sing the song of hope. They need to hear of the one who Isaiah sang of, the servant who bore our infirmities and carried us, who took away our iniquity and led us back when we went astray, and gave prosperity to his beloved offspring through all generations. The song of Isaiah here reminds us not that we are great. We are actually kind of lousy, tending to stray with many faults, causing problems and wandering into suffering. That's the reality we probably all recognize. But it also says there is another side. There is a Savior who brings redemption. This notion is the primary starting point for most of the songs of the Bible. And the Bible is full of songs, many of them having the same theme. When the Hebrews had been rescued from the years of slavery in Egypt and faithfully brought across the Red Sea to safety in the Great Exodus, Moses and Miriam led the faithful in a song, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. When David is saved from the rage of King Saul and realizes that God has given him sanctuary and will be faithful to his promise, he composes a psalm to mark the occasion, saying, the Lord is my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my stronghold and my sanctuary. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And it continues through the generations. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, realizes that the baby she thought would be her shame would actually be her salvation, she breaks out in the song that we call the Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God. He looks on his servant in her lowliness, and henceforth all ages will call me blessed. And when Simeon sees that baby Jesus, the Savior for whom he has waited all of his life to give meaning to his toil, he opens his mouth and out comes the verses, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In every generation it is the same. The people of God make it through some great trial, and through that they learn about God's faithful love for them, and they respond by singing a new song. They are not fighting for their own greatness, but remembering the greatness of the Lord. They do it because joy cannot be contained, because hope can never be held down. But just as importantly, they sing it because the faithfulness of God demands a faithful response, not just of praise, but of telling others of the wonderful saving grace of the Lord. This act is itself part of the offering that we bring into God's court. It is the offering we need to bring, that others need us to bring, to tell of God's wonderful works of salvations among us with all the resources that we have. I was recently reminded how important an act of service this work really is when I sat with other clergy from our area and heard them express the fear of their churches dying out. They needed to be reminded of the song of God's faithfulness. They needed to hear again the story of hope and redemption that stands on the far side of suffering. Some of their churches will close, but life persists. God's mission will thrive. We have gotten an inspiring example of this recently. If you walk down the hallways of this church, you will see the items that have been given to us. When the Bread of Life Fellowship closed its door, they line our hallways. While it's sad that their ministry has ended, it is giving way to new life, enabling the song of God's salvation to be sung anew. Those items are not only empowering our own ministry, but they have been used to help our greater community through the East Bluff Community Center, and will go to the other churches in this diocese who lost everything in the schism. And the song of God's redeeming work will find a new voice. It will find a new verse for today, a new hope. That's what faithfulness looks like. That's how the story of faith goes. Things will die. Efforts will fail. It's sad, but that is only the beginning of the song of salvation. In the ecosystem of God, they must always give way to new life. We call that redemption, and we here know it well. And that example is only in my small church circle. In all the spheres of your life, people need to hear and hope in the saving work of God anew. Your friends need to believe that there is redemption amidst the brokenness of relationships. They need us to say that we've been through broken relationships, but we've learned to trust again and found that there's joy in it. Our neighbors stuck in patterns of failure need us to be a people who can let what is old and not working fall away, because we have faith that God is doing a new thing among us, and it will be a beautiful thing and a glory to God's name. They need to follow us through our darkness and the destruction of things, and hear our voice speak of the dawn of new life. They need to hear the story of that cross that hangs over the columbarium, because even at the grave, we are a people who can make our song, Alleluia, 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 because there is redemption for saint and sinner alike, and that is hope. There are children in our greater community that need us to be a place where they can come to hope, where they can learn to dream of something other than growing up in poverty and struggle. Among other things, this year we want to raise money to start a children's choir where they can come for free to learn to sing the song of God's faithfulness alongside of our own children. We are stewards of the story of God's faithfulness, of redemption, and we need to find new ways to sing it out in our community so that all may know of its saving power. We've recently been talking in Vestry about what the core values of St. Paul's are, what makes the spiritual foundation of this place. And the thing that comes up again and again is the high level of commitment that people here have. In other words, what makes this place great is its faithfulness. What will make this church great in the eyes of God will be the ways it serves Christ by telling the story of God's faithfulness. It will be the degree to which we let others know that there is true redemption because we have felt it, that there is reason to hope because we know it in our soul, that there is joy in the morning because we have experienced it, and we will not let the song be held back. We will not worry about being an important church. We will simply focus on being a church committed to singing the song of God's faithfulness and telling it among all people. It cannot be a threadbare song because no one will believe it. It must be a beautiful and befitting song of the new life we must put our faith in. It must not be a time-worn and toothless hymn because no one will listen. It has to be a full-throated anthem of praise to the mighty God of salvation. It might be the same old salvation story that God has been telling through all generations, but we will tell how God is doing it anew here. This response will match the beauty of the God who has redeemed us. It will be the song that we put all of our resources towards singing and making it known to all people. God could make these bricks sing out if needed, but it will be more fun, more life-giving if we do it ourselves. So let us sing to the Lord a new song and tell of God's saving work among all people. Amen.